I have been thirsty. Real thirst, that deep aching thirst, where your mouth is dry like sand and you can't even make spit. That thirst that wears you out and wears you down, that takes your breath away, makes you feel expired. Remember when you were a kid and you were outside in the summertime running and playing and riding bikes and exploring and going from adventure to adventure all day long, stretching every moment out of the sun and the light and the warmth. At some point in that mad dash of childhood ideal, we would stop by home and run in to get a drink because we were thirsty. We would fill the glass with cold water from the tap and gulp it down breathlessly, gasping between each drink. Or if we couldn't wait to get inside, we would grab the garden hose, wipe the dirt and grass off the end of it, turn the spigot on, and gulp as if our life depended on it. I have been thirsty. When I was in high school, I decided to go out for the wrestling team. Now, our wrestling team at my high school practiced in our old gym, in our small gym. It was a gym that was downstairs. It was built with the original part of the high school back in 19-dickety-doo. And it was small, and it was cramped, and it was hot. It was right next to the boiler room that still fed that part of the building. And our wrestling coach would shut the doors on that tiny little gym, and he would crank the heat up, and that furnace would pump out, the room would get so warm, and we would practice for hours. My first day of wrestling practice, I lost 14 pounds in water weight. Now, when I got home, I gulped about 6 gallons of water to take care of that. But I have been thirsty. Our call to worship today comes from the 63rd Psalm, and in it, the writer says, "O God, you are my God, I seek you, my soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you as in a dry and weary land where there is no water." Have you ever been so thirsty for God that you felt weak, that you felt faint, that it was like searching for a drop of water in the desert? In Exodus, the people think they are that thirsty. They have been wandering. They come to a place to stop for a bit, and there's no water to be seen. And the people begin to worry. They don't see how they're going to get a drink. They're thirsty, and they don't know how they're going to quench that thirst. They don't know how they're going to satisfy it. So they turn to Moses, and they say, "We're thirsty." And Moses says, "Why are you telling me?" And he turns to God, and he says, "These people are going to stone me. They're so upset." And God says, "Calm down, walk out ahead of him with the elders, go to this rock, tap it with the staff, and the water will come from the rock." And it does, and the people drink and drink and drink until they are satiated. When we thirst after God today, when we desire to be with God and follow God again, God provides for us. God sends us the life that we need, the life-giving water that comes through our rock, Jesus Christ. That sounds amazing because I have been thirsty. I have been thirsty for justice. In a world where the powerful exploit the powerless, where the haves persecute the have-nots, where a person's skin color can get them killed, where a person's faith can make them a target, where a person's opinions can make them the ire of trolls and wingnuts. I have been thirsty for justice. How long, oh God, must I wait? You, the great judge, the one who will judge all hearts, where is your justice? When will we finally see it roll down like thunder on this cruel and unjust world? I have been thirsty. I have been thirsty for hope. In a world where defeat and denial reign supreme, in a world where I am told, no, that won't work, no, you can't do that, no, it doesn't work that way, in a world where the daily news is filled with destruction and chaos, I have been thirsty for hope. The hope that lifts spirits and fills lives. The hope that reminds us that though the night is dark, the dawn is coming. The hope that was born and reborn through the love of God, I have been thirsty. I have been thirsty for love. In a world where love has been twisted and abused, where love has been undervalued and missing from far too many moments, in this world that tells me that love is not enough, that love won't work, that love is too easy of an answer, I have been thirsty for love, the love that lifts spirits and fills hearts, the love that looks past wrongs and forgives unconditionally, the love that connects and inspires people, the love that warms our hearts when the night is coldest, the love that comes from deep within us, down in the center of our true selves, where we allow ourselves to be vulnerable and open and true. The love shown in God sending His only Son that all who believe might be free. I have been thirsty. Haven't we all? I look out at a world that disappoints, that falls short of expectations, that lets me down time and time again. Haven't we all been thirsty for justice and hope and love? Don't we feel this thirst down deep in our spirits? Aren't we parched for something better, for something more, for something kingdom come? I stare out at this worldscape and I am thirsty. Thirsty for God's reign to come, thirsty for Jesus to return, thirsty for all of it, and I mean all of it, to get one of those TV makeovers where they take something awful and broken and dirty and make it brand new and better and brighter. But often what happens is I just keep being thirsty. The world doesn't seem to change, and I begin to wonder if I will ever find a drink to satisfy this thirst. Isaiah calls to us this morning, "Ho! Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Everyone who thirsts, come to the water." I forget, I'm not the source of the water. Every time I get thirsty and I try to quench it, I fail. It isn't enough. The thirst continues because I am not the source of the water. I want to be. I want to fix it all myself. I can do it if I try harder, work harder, apply myself more, spread myself thinner, do more. Then surely I won't be thirsty anymore. And it never works. It never works because I am not the source of the water. Moses realized this in the desert when the people came to him. He could have set up search parties to go out and look for water. He could have gotten one of those guys with one of those sticks, right? The little divining rod that shakes and quivers, right? Go find water. He could have followed the camels. They seem to know where the water is, but that's not what he did. When the people came to him and said, "We're thirsty," he turned to the source of the water. He turned to God and he said, "The people are thirsty." And God brought water from the rock when there was no water. God is the source. We are simply the tributaries. The water flows through us, but it does not come from us. I've been thirsty for justice. And I have failed because I expected humanity to provide it. But we are flawed and failed creatures. How could we deliver true justice? Our justice is tinged with politics and influence, with power and corruption. Our justice is impacted by factors like money and skin color and social class, and it imbues the whole system. It lets us down too much because we think it is the source of the water that will quench our thirst, but I am still thirsty. It is God's justice that we must call upon, God's justice that is true and right, that lifts all of God's creation, that puts the last first and the first last, scales balanced by the sacrifice of Jesus for each of us. God's justice sees past our money and power hierarchies and brings a justice that frees the prisoner, that heals the sick, that feeds the hungry, that gives water to the thirsty. That is justice that satisfies my thirst. I have been thirsty for hope, but I have failed because I have expected humanity to provide it, but we are flawed and failed creatures. My wife often tells me that I say no too quickly to her ideas. When she has a plan, a thought about a project around the home, she will say, "Do you think if we would do this and move that here and change this and have it be like this, what do you think about that?" And she says, my first answer is always no. Because I don't see her vision for what it will be like when we get there, how nice it will be, how much we'll enjoy it. I see all the work between here and there. I see all the effort I'm going to have to put in. I see the hassle and pain it's going to be while we're doing it, the possibility that it won't work, we're going to have to put everything back like we had it in the first place. So I say no. We do it anyway, because it turns out my vote doesn't have as much power as I thought it did. And when we get done, I need to say, 99.9% of the time, she's right. It was better that way. She's blessed with being able to see the whole forest. I'm cursed with being able to see the tree in front of me. We struggle with hope because we can't see it getting better, staying better, being better. It is what it is, and it will just be what it is, and that's how the world works. But we are not the source. God is. It is God's hope for humanity that we have to see, that we have to believe in, that God can see past our limitations and our shortcomings and see the possibility within us, that God can see past our sinful nature and see the kingdom that might come about within us. God's hope in us was so great, He redeemed us, He saved us and loved us when we were our most unlovable. That is the hope that we strive for, that we reach for. God's hope that says, yes, the night is long and dark, but the morning is coming as He turns us toward the dawn. That is the hope that satisfies my thirst. I have been thirsty for love, and I have failed because I expected humanity to provide it, but we are flawed and failed creatures. We love ourselves far too much. We love power. We love money. We love prestige. And that love is arbitrary. It's contingent. We base it on things like outward appearance and sex appeal and ornamental offerings. And when the sands of time take their toll, we're shocked that that love doesn't last. But we are not the source of the love we seek. God is. Scripture tells us, before it talks of the sacrifice of Jesus, of God coming incarnate to be the Word among us, that starts with, God so loved the world. That love is love that you can stand on, that you can build on, that you can believe in. That love that lifts us up and connects us and fills us. That love is the love that carries us from day to day. God's love for us was so great that he came to walk among us. That is the love that satisfies my thirst. We are thirsty. We long for water that will satiate us, that will end this thirst that has dogged us for so long. And time and again, we drink of the things that don't satisfy, that stop short, that fail us. In this season of Lent, perhaps it is time once again to turn to the source of the living water, to turn to the one who brought the water from the rock, to turn to the one who promises to quench our thirst. To drink deeply once again from God's justice and God's hope and God's love. I have been thirsty for too long, but now I remember where the true water resides. Everyone who thirsts, come to the water.